of the bugs I've still yet to work out is when we have our listener appreciation giveaways and Lance does sports trivia. He often forgets to give me the answers. He expects me to know these things. We were supposed to give away tickets in the 8 o'clock hour. But I looked it up. I'm like, I don't know the answer. I don't have time to look these up in real time. So I apologize if you were waiting for the 820 Coyotes tickets giveaway. We're going to do them right now because I have the answer. I've got them. After their creation in 1996, the first jersey featured a logo quite different than the logo we see today. What was the old logo? You know, today's Coyote logo is the Coyote. What was the first logo on the Coyotes jersey? Text that answer to 411-923, and we'll pick a random right winner at the end of this programming segment. Now, we're talking about outdoor cooking. If you're the type that enjoys some of that, the smells and the aromas, but you don't feel like doing it, or you want to get some today, at 10 o'clock here, the Empire Ranch Cowboy Festival in Southern Arizona will be opening up, and they've got a number of food vendors that'll be providing, you know, steaks and cowboy beans and Old West cooking and Indian fry bread and all kinds of good stuff. And go get yourself some good outdoor food and watch the arena demonstrations that's put on there at the Empire Ranch.
Very good. And we got a message sent to us during the break because I said we were done talking about cooking appliances, and they said the Cajuns are going to quit talking about outdoor cooking kitchen and not talk about a deep fat fryer.
You always add the word fat. I don't know that I've ever seen that in the marketing materials.
Well, that's what it is.
Deep fryer.
So one of the reasons is because mentally at my house, that is completely separated. I can remember when we used to deep fry the turkeys, just right out the backyard, or even in the garage when the kids were home. But now, as an older and wiser grandfather, I move it way away from everybody, way away from the trampoline, way away from the volleyball car, way away from the swimming pool. I tape it off with emergency tape, keep the grandkids out, post a dog on watch. Because, I mean, you're taking that oil. What do you take it to, bud? About 350?
I do.
Yeah, 350. And you dry the bird very well. You don't want any moisture on the bird.
No.
Season it appropriately. And appropriately for me is you take one Tony Sacheray's container and rub it over the whole bird.
Just eight or 16-ounce container?
Just an eight.
Oh, okay.
Eight. One 8-ounce.
Good man.
And inside the cavity, outside, drop it, and they tell me you fry it till it floats. I just fry it for about 2 minutes a pound, 2.5 minutes a pound.
And the word is lower, not drop. Speaking of safety.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that too.
And pulling them out's a little tricky too. Roma, you have a trick with the broomstick, and that works really slick.
Well, if you've got a second person, you can pick that handle of the basket up and then put a broomstick or a rake handle or whatever through it, and two people can lift it, and you let all that hot oil drain. Because one thing that if you pull it out too fast and move it, that dripping oil, you know, you can get a flash fire right underneath your cooking equipment pretty quick if you're not watching it. And the trick is to not overheat it, because it is one of those things. You're like, you're waiting, and as soon as you walk away, that oil is going to go from 225 to 400. Do not drop it in at 400.
Throw some onions in there.
There you go.
Cool it back off. Throw some whole onions in there. Works
another good thing about having two people is one person will certainly remember that there's still a bird in the oil if you're doing more than a couple.
You would hope so.
We did, I think, six that first Thanksgiving out in Whitman, and I woke up the next day, and the sixth one was still in the pot. We went through five of them, but that was a good...
Now I think we've covered all the cooking appliances.
And one trick I learned from Boudreaux is he rubs mustard, just French's mustard, on his turkey before he seasons it.
Okay.
And that does make the seasoning stick better. And it does make it, I think, a little crispier.
Just a regular yellow mustard?
French's yellow mustard, yeah.
Never thought about
that. Well, if we're making you hungry, we have some of these recipes on our website, and it's under Romero's Favorite Recipes. Romy, is that what it says? Mm-hmm. But it's a blog. It's got the coleslaw dressing that Mama Kay makes, which is fantastic. You've never had anything like it before. There's cornbread dressing, two kinds of cornbread. There's jambalaya, the deep fried turkeys. So if you want some of our recipes, they're up there.
It's all about getting outside to your backyard holiday oasis with family and having a great time. And I promise you, I will lay this down in blood. If you ever try the recipe for cornbread or rice dressing, you'll never buy stovetop again. You will never buy stovetop dressing again. Romy, what did you say? That was invented in 1972?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And they sold 60.
No, stovetop. Annually, right now, they're selling 60 million boxes a year.
Well, you try the recipe on our website, and I promise you, you'll never buy another box of that stuff again.
That has to be an annual one just for this time of year, because when else would you buy it? It's not very good.
No.
Once you've had the other stuff, you wouldn't eat it but once a year.
And to me, that just takes away the whole part of the tradition of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, buying something out of the box to use, you know, the Thanksgiving and the tradition. It was, you know, 3 days of work and putting together, and people complain that it takes a lot of cooking. Well, that's what it's supposed to
be.
Well,
we trained you well.
Well, I won't mention any names, but traditions are very personal. We've got in-laws whose Thanksgiving tradition is serve cold-cut sandwiches and cheese casserole.
And there's a reason I couldn't name that, that relative, because I'm always at the deep fryer
and the glazed honey baked ham.
And that's a very sacred family tradition for them, so let it be, let it be. All right, what are the other things you can do in enjoying your outdoor oasis? Is do things that require less maintenance. And boy, I can tell y'all, folks, there was a time I really turned my nose up at people that were tearing out beautiful, authentic TIFF lawns and putting in AstroTurf. And I'd really turn up my nose at people that weren't installing blue spruce or go-water pine real trees and buying $19 plastic stuff that you stick together. But my nose isn't so easily turned up in the air anymore.
Changing your tune, are you?
Well, I'm becoming, I hope, wiser and more humble.
Well, we have less workers, too.
We got a lot less yard men since Romy moved out and William.
What you call, you know, AstroTurf is a lot different.
It's a different generation.
20 years ago than what they're installing today.
Oh, I mean, you go with the new artificial turfs, and you really can have something that looks good 365 days a year without ever having to buy 1 ounce of gasoline for an edge trimmer or a lawnmower. Now, with that said, if you do install a gorgeous artificial turf, I will tell you this, that's not the place to put your deep fat turkey fryer. I'm just going to say. Well, how about once you've got the pavers down, again, zero maintenance pavers, they never crack.
Some common sense does apply.
They never age. We don't hardly ever pour concrete for patios or sidewalks or driveways anymore. Pavers have completely taken over all the outdoor horizontal hard surfacing, as well they should. They are the right way to go. So you've got zero maintenance pavers down. You got zero maintenance artificial turf down. You've got your choice of cooking equipment and outdoor appliances. You've got a nice waterproof shade pergola back patio cover to mount your big screen TV. You've got the sunshades to pull down to take the glare off the screen. And now we need to make it environmentally comfortable. Well, you could do that with some area heaters, either portable with propane tanks for the the fall and the winter. I love my misting systems. I've seen more misting systems done wrong than done right. But when they're done right, they really work well. You need a pump that pushes that mist out at almost 1,000 PSI through incredibly small nozzles. So it actually atomizes the water and evaporates into the ambient environment before it hits the ground and starts puddling up. You should never feel wet under a properly installed misting system. And how about these sideline evap coolers? I mean, I love the evap coolers we've got at the office.
Yeah, they are nice. Portable exterior evap coolers, they are great. Especially like on your patio where you've got a corner and you can aim the air to that corner and it fills up the corner, then it starts pushing the hot air out and it constantly has that. It creates a more of a draft than just standing directionally in front of it. You know, that air then pushes both ways and you've got that air circulation that makes it nice.
And in the middle of monsoon season, which we're past, and you may think the evap cooler would create too much moisture, that's when you have grandkids take scoops of ice and drop them down into that water reservoir. And I tell you what, when you're pouring ice-cold water over those pads, it significantly drops the temperature coming out of that cooler.
Even in humidity, you just get the water a little colder and it kicks back up.
That's absolutely right. Now, one of the last things, that ceiling fans would be another thing that you'd want to put in the area.
And oftentimes you see indoor fans put on patios.
And those are the ones that the blades droop all the way down and look like an upside-down tulip.
Good description.
Yeah.
Yeah, upside-down tulip.
Exactly what they look like.
Nice waste of money there.
And a lot of people, in an outdoor fan, it'll start wobbling. And you're exposed to a lot of thermal differences outside. And most people start taping quarters or weights to the top of the fan blade to keep it from wobbling. And I will tell you, if you have an outside ceiling fan that's wobbly and it's been hung for more than 2 years, you're going to eliminate 90% of that wobble with a Phillips head screwdriver. Just go in and re-firm up all the blade screws and the stem screw where the stem mounts to the junction box at the ceiling. If you'll just tighten those back up, 90% of the wobbling will just go away. So the last thing we've got to talk about is lighting. And the most important thing to remember about lighting is don't create glare bombs.
And we'll talk about that in the next break. The answer to the trivia question today, what was the original coyote a resemblance of? It was not a paw. It was not peyote coyote, although that's a pretty funny creative answer. If I didn't get a right one, I would have picked that one just for creativity. It was not a cocapelli. It's close. It was a kachina. So congratulations to everyone, or thank you for everyone that played, and to our winner. If the last four digits of your number are 0624, let us know the address you want. They'll send it info@rosieonthehouse.com, and we'll mail you your tickets.